Welcome to Donor Audio Interview 4000.
Would you identify a person who had a significant influence on you and explain the influence?
My best friend is very influential on me because he is what I aspire to be. He has a career, he has a family, and he has children, and he's able to manage all three separately. And to see him do that inspires me to want to be just like him.
What do you aspire to be?
The best person that I can possibly be. To be a great father, to be a loving husband, and to be a great friend.
How would you describe yourself?
I'm loyal. I am compassionate. I am, use the word long-suffering. It's patience, but it's more or less more than patience. Mm-hmm. So especially with those, with my friends. So I love family. And I love my friends, and I'll do anything for my family and friends.
Describe the world you come from and how that world shaped who you are.
Well, I came from meager living, I guess, as a youngster, so I didn't have much growing up. Mm-hmm. So as I've accumulated some forms of wealth, it's been easy to take pride in it, to cherish it, and not to let it go to my head. Because from coming from humble backgrounds, it's one of those things to where when you don't have much, you learn to appreciate more than when you do have, but you also have to manage what you have.
Does any specific attribute, quality, or skill distinguish you from everyone else? How did you develop this attribute?
The major attribute is being logical. I'm able to break down and at times it's also a curse as well to be able to listen to someone's conversation and to, I guess, debate them or to challenge them on their theory or whatever their basis is for their explanation. Also being able to look at a problem or able to solve a problem from thinking out of the box. So it's the ability to actually break down. If you look at it as a puzzle, I'm able to break down the puzzle and then put it back together again as I see it.
How did you develop this?
A lot of it was military training and then in school. So as getting, you know, being in college and then while in college in the military, it was you do as you're told, but you have to do what you're told as what makes common sense. So I'm able to break down, well, what is logical, what is common sense, what would the normal person do given the surrounding, or given the same situation, given the same parameters, what would a normal person do?
What do you think are the most admirable qualities a person can have, and why?
I think that they should be able to have a charitable attribute to where they're able to give, giving unselfishly, not being selfish. That's a very key quality or admirable quality that I think that a person could have, as well as being able to generally love everybody, being able to look beyond somebody else's faults and able to see the good in them, even though you acknowledge their fault, but at the same time you don't beat them down about it. And also long-suffering, being patient, you know, going above and beyond what is needed. We had a lot more people that would do that. I think the world would be a better place, but we don't. So those of us who are, those are rare qualities that you find, and particularly all three in one individuals.
What quality do you like best in yourself, and what do you like least?
The quality I like best in myself is the ability to forgive, or the reverse effect of the ability to trust. Mm-hmm. So when I meet someone, it's, I trust you automatically. You don't have to earn my trust. You have it automatically. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you mess it up, you know, it's like going into a class in college where you have to earn an A. And let's say A is trust. But with me, it's you already have trust. What you do from there will cause your A to go down to a B or the level of trust that I have. The one that I like the least is long-suffering. I'm not as patient as I should be. And that's an acquired trait or something that I have to learn. And willing to overcome that. The fact that I'm actually faced it and I'm dealing with it. So one day I will be able to be as patient with others as plenty of people are with me.
What quality would you most like to see flourish and which would you like to see wither?
Patience. I'd like to see patience flourish. I don't know if there's any quality that I would like to wither. I don't think that I want any of my qualities that I have now, I think, are okay. But the one that I need the most of, I can increase in all of them, but I don't want to see any of them decrease.
What kind of values did your parents instill in you that you would like to pass on to your own children?
To be grateful for what you have, because there's always somebody that doesn't have what you have. So whereas I grew up from humble beginnings, it wasn't as if there was always somebody worse off. During Christmas time, when we would complain about the gifts that we were getting, the next day or that same day, Christmas Day, Mom would pack us up in the car and say, well, look at that person there, they're homeless. They don't have anything. So what you have, be grateful for. So that's the main thing that my parents instilled in me that I will always pass down to my kids and whoever else I come in contact with.
Tell me how you like to spend time with your family.
Most of the time I'm spending time with my family either A, at a football game while we're tailgating, or B, during the holidays. And it's always a great time for reflection. And when I'm spending time with them for the holidays, it's always a great time of reflection, because my siblings and I will go over what was it like as a kid, and we'll see my nieces and nephews, and we're like, wow, look at all these toys they have. And we only had this when we were younger. And so we take pride in the fact that we're above and beyond where we were, and that obviously makes our parents happy as well. And at the football game, it's great because we all cheer for the same team, and it's a very festive time.
Tell me about the most cherished present you ever received, and tell me why this gift was so special.
I received my electric guitar with the amplifier, because I like playing electric guitar. Where I hadn't played in about, since that time. Last time I picked up one to play was like when I was 8. So when I got the one at 12, it was when I was 12. So when I got the one when I was 12 years old, it's been like 5 years. And what made it so cherished is that I started complaining about the amps not working and I need more strings. And I wasn't totally appreciative of the gift. So what my mother did was she took the gift away. And I never got it back. So it helped me to develop the point of be thankful, be grateful, and show appreciation for what you have.
Tell me about some activities you enjoyed in your childhood.
I loved playing hide-and-go-seek with my sisters. That was fun. I also loved playing football and organized sports. I loved playing soccer. We had a treehouse over at my friend's house that I would like to go over there and play. So I did a lot of treehouse and imagination type thing, imagining I was Spider-Man or Superman or something like that.
What is your favorite book?
My favorite book, besides The Souls of Black Folk by W.E.B. Du Bois and A Lesson Before Dying by Ernest J. Gaines, my favorite book, controversial as it is to me anyway, is by Michael Eric Dyson, which is his Bill Cosby writer has The Black Upper Class or Middle Class Lost Their Mind. And it really breaks down the stereotypes of inside the black community.
What types of books do you enjoy?
I enjoy the science fiction. Also enjoy the religious self-help books, as well as anything that has to do with biblical history. So I rotate. I read 2 fiction books, and then I read a non-fiction book. So it goes back and forth. Also, anything that has to do with current times, like the next book I'll read is probably Justice Clarence Thomas' book.
What do you do for fun?
Might seem boring, but I like going to Borders to read. So it's my way of escaping, but at the same time, I guess not having to pay for the book either. If it's a book that I like, I'll buy it. But while I'm there, I'll try it out, so I'll read it. If I don't like it, I'll put it back. I like volunteering. I do volunteer with an organization to where I have a couple of mentees, so I do mentor. I like certain church activities, the singing in the choir, or participating in the men's group. But I recently picked up playing the piano, playing the keyboard, so I'm teaching myself how to play keyboard.
Has anyone ever told you that you resemble a particular celebrity?
Yes, they have. I look like the guy off Hanging with Mr. Cooper, that main character, and John Legend. Why, I have no idea, but that's what I've heard, so.
Evaluate a significant experience, achievement, risk you have taken, or ethical dilemma you have faced and its impact on you.
The biggest significant experience or risk would be moving from one state to another state. And that's strange because while I knew individuals, it was trying to get used to a new environment, trying to get used to a new place. And then 2 years later, I moved from that place back the other way and I have to start over again. So those experiences, they're challenging, but the impact has been that I've learned to adjust, adapt, and overcome, learn to meet new people, learn to enjoy my surroundings, to see what the surroundings has to offer me as far as entertainment or just things that I like to do. And some people never move anywhere and they're stuck in the same place their whole life, where I've been blessed, favored to move from 5 different states. So I'm able to see a lot of things, meet a lot of people, and make multiple contacts. And the good thing is even though I've left and I don't live in those places, I can always go visit.
Choose a prominent person, living, deceased, or fictional, whom you would like to interview and explain why.
I would actually like to interview, just off the top of my head, President Bill Clinton. Because I want to know how his mind works. And what's it like living with Hillary? That I would like to know.
Is there a work of art that has surprised or unsettled or challenged you? And in what way?
Michelangelo's David. And the reason why is, I guess now, nobody could actually do a piece of artwork like that, display it publicly, and people would just rave review and say, this is phenomenal. We'd have to go through the ACLU, all kinds of other people that would say it's not politically correct to have a naked statue of a grown man. And if that is how it is then, I wonder how it was back then. During Michelangelo's time. So it's unsettling when I first saw it, because I was young when I first saw it. And I was like, guy's naked, hiding my eyes and shielding my face, as opposed to this person, Michelangelo, sit up there and he had talent and skill to where he was able to carve out a total statue of a man and do it in great definition. So it helped me to appreciate it, even though I was unsettled, but I was able to appreciate it.
Have you experienced a moment of epiphany, as if your eyes were open to something you were previously blind to? Describe this moment.
That would be in working with an Excel spreadsheet, in which I thought I had everything right in the formula that I wrote, and it turned out that it was wrong, obviously, because I wasn't getting the correct. Well, it looked like it was right, but it was wrong because the figures weren't adding up when they went to review it. So I had to go to somebody else who obviously is more of an Excel genius, and being able to know that I was wrong, face that I was wrong, because there was, a couple of comma errors in there. When I look back on it, I'm like, you're such a dummy. Why didn't you think of that, and why didn't you know that? And it's just, I don't know everything. And so it's great when somebody else can come along and teach me something new.
What would you like to be doing right now?
Right now, I would like to be probably with a band playing in a jazz cafe. That's what I'd like to be doing right now.
Who would you prefer to be with at this moment?
This moment, I would love to be with my grandfather. If I could choose both of them, I'd like to be with both of them, just because they're both nearing time of life where their life isn't expected to last much longer. So it's great to, I could sit down with them and talk with them one last time and listen to their words of wisdom and listen to their stories. That's great.
What is your approach to life?
Live for the day. Don't worry too much about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of itself, and if tomorrow never sees me, tomorrow will still be there.
What was the most difficult time in your life? How did you overcome these difficulties? How did your perspective on life change as a result of the difficulty?
The most difficult time in my life was right when my mom and dad were divorced, primarily because it took me years to get over it. I guess I was able to overcome it with time, and knowing that my mom, and later on being able to talk to my dad about the situation. So really being able to rectify the situation with them and come to a sense of closure about it.
Describe your most rewarding experience.
Anytime that I'm recognized by my peers on my job, that's a reward, because it's hardly ever monetary in that concern. It's just a nice little pat on the back that says, hey, good job.
Who is your favorite actor?
Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle's my favorite actor because he can take on multiple roles and he has a great British accent.
What is your favorite dinner?
Well, my favorite dinner is lasagna, even though it's bad for me. So lasagna with some green beans.
What is the first thing you do in the morning?
I roll out the bed and pray.
What is something you wish you could do, but you can't?
I wish primarily that I could play every musical instrument known to man.
Why did you choose career line work?
It kind of just popped upon me. First and foremost, I wanted to be a public servant. So I wanted to do public service, whereas I could go in the private sector and earn a ton of money, but that's not what would make me happy. You know, I chose doing that. And then in that field, focus more on finance and budgeting. So even though I'm not out there doing all the hard work, I'm helping everybody get funding so that the work can be done.
What do you find most interesting about your work?
The interaction with different people and the different programs that are out there. The fact that each program and how you go about instituting the program.
If you had to choose a different career, what would you be and why wouldn't you choose this career?
Probably the governor of a state. And I choose that because I'd be able to impact a whole lot more people.
If you could take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now, what would you be doing as far as work, family, travel?
Work, I'd probably run the place. In 10 years, I'd be the administrator. For family, I'd have 3.5 kids. In travel, I would have been to Spain, would have been to Sweden, would have been to Alaska.
Tell me what you would consider a romantic evening.
A romantic evening would probably start about 4 o'clock with a nice little picnic in the park. After the picnic in the park, go through either a riverboat cruise or a carriage ride, followed by dinner at in a private little area where there's live music, where you can also get up and dance. And then going to a museum or to where we can actually go, or they call them an arboretum, where you can go and see the stars out through the telescope, do that. And that would be the perfect romantic little evening.
What qualities do you look for in a potential mate?
Non-materialistic, have to be patient, kind to others. They must have some kind of relationship with God. And be spontaneous, because I'm not spontaneous, but I like spontaneous people. So where I'm a planner, they're spontaneous. It's great. It works out wonderful.
What is the nicest thing you could do for your significant other?
Just be there for them when they need me. Specifically, being there to listen. Everybody likes to, you know, talk and put their problems on people. And just know that you have somebody that you can talk to.
Why did you decide to participate in this donor program?
I decided to participate because a sibling of mine, mostly one of my sisters, has problems with bearing children. And she kind of told me about what she was doing. And I said, oh, well, that's a great way of, you know, helping people out. That's primarily the reason why. Some people have problems with being able to have naturally, you know, reproduce children. So that's one way of doing it. And so since then, it's like, okay, I'll do it.
Is there a message you would like to add for recipients or offspring listening to this interview?
Well, if it's an offspring, one day, hope to meet them. If not, well, then that's great. But anyway, it would be like nice to meet them to see, you know, how they've grown up, how much, you know, I've impacted them. And to a recipient, hopefully I've been very thorough in my answers and you like what you hear, I guess. And it's been great if I'm able to help somebody.
This concludes Donor Audio Interview 4000.